the old saying is, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. And, you know, if you really believe in something, just never, ever, 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 ever stop. Never quit.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
I'm joined by Jerry Kelly, and Jerry is the founder of LA-based Sonus Denim. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you so much for having me. I am honored to be a guest on your show.
It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you. Yes. I'm excited.
Here's my 30-second bio of Jerry Kelly. So Jerry's company is Sonus Denim. It's a fashion brand with a social mission. So it was founded at Burning Man. I'd love to hear the story. Where Jerry and his wife, Christine, decided to combine both of their passions, fashion and festivals and animal welfare. So the clothing they design is unique. Their jeans are made from over 50 individual pieces that give them a really fresh and unique look. And their goal is to open their own animal sanctuary in Northern California and build a compassionate, free-spirited lifestyle fashion brand based around their unique patchwork. And their ultimate goal is to own the patchwork space. So, Jerry, that is a fascinating story. You know, fashion,
thank you.
Burning Man.
Said very well, by the way. You said that very well.
Where did you get the idea from?
You know, actually, so my first Burning Man was in 2001, and I bought an old pair of patchwork jeans on the store in Haight Street in San Francisco, in Haight-Ashbury, a place called Aardvark's. It's gone now. And I bought the jeans. I wore them to all the, you know, I've been into the festivals for years. I wore them to different festivals around the world and wherever I was. And people always commented on them saying, man, these are cool. Can you get me a parents one? And I, you know, I never thought of making jeans. And then my jeans fell apart, and I tried to find more jeans. This was like 2010, 2011. I tried to find more jeans similar, and I couldn't find them. So a buddy of mine told me about a girl we know. She was a bartender slash seamstress at a local Irish bar in San Francisco, and said, you know, she might be able to help you make a pair. Because I was actually making a fuss about not finding the right pair.
Jerry, you were wearing these jeans for 10 years. What do you expect?
Exactly, I know. Yes. 10 years, and they've been through all sorts of festivals and up and down. And they'd really fallen apart way before that. And I'd always I'd brought them to get some alterations done. And then this time it was just, they're done, you know?
But it sounded like they became your best friends, because it sounded
honest
like
God,
you kind of wore them everywhere. Is that because they were so unique and, you know, so different?
Yeah, I honestly really loved them. And I felt this, you know, freedom when I wore them. I swear to God, it was like kind of, I'm going to a festival and I'm getting out of town or whatever. You know, and tell you the truth, I actually got married in them, Matthew. I'm not joking.
I had this vision of these jeans held together by safety pins. And, you know, as long as they make it through the service, you'll be fine.
Exactly. And it's crazy. I actually got married in them. And yeah, no, I loved them. And then what happened was I had this girl make me three pairs of jeans. It was the toughest $200 she ever earned.
Wow.
And we made three pairs of jeans. And I wore them to the festivals again. And the next thing, people were asking me, saying, you know, can you get me these or whatever? And I was like, you know, after making these three pairs of jeans, you know, I love these.
Yeah.
I came back from the festivals and I thought, I'm going to build a denim brand. I had no idea what I was doing, to be honest with you. And
which is classic, and which is a fantastic sort of, you know, entrepreneurial thing. You know,
It was crazy. I was working in real estate at the time. My real estate business went under.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I love the jeans. I'm not going to go back and work for somebody. I've been working for myself for the past 5 years. Let's build a business. Let's build a brand. And that's how it started, you know. It was like, that was my aha moment. And I really, it was just kind of, I'll give it a bash. And I just never stop. That's one thing I have is persistence, you know. And
I think that's
where it started.
You're playing it down slightly, because to say that's how it started, I mean, to actually start a fashion brand, you know, it's one of the most competitive businesses on earth. So it's something that you didn't know anything about, But clearly there's that driving ambition that's pushing you forwards. But how did you, what were the first steps? How did, you know, where do you start?
Oh my God, it was brutal. So I started off by looking, I paid a girl, a fashion consultant, I paid her 150 bucks for an hour of her time and showed her the jeans. She says, you know, I think this has legs. I think you got something here. And
no pun intended. You know, I said, so,
exactly. She says, you know, you're going to have to find a pattern maker and find a manufacturer. You know, I didn't know anybody. So I started knocking on doors and I found a guy who would make me a pair of jeans, made me the pattern, but he actually couldn't make the actual jeans. So he made the pattern. And then I brought the pattern. At least five times I'd called into a denim factory in San Francisco and they basically laughed me out of the place. And I just kept on calling in and she'd put me off and put me off and put me off. And I went in this particular Saturday and she wasn't actually there. And I met a guy who was part-time working there and I think he felt sorry for me. And he said, listen, dude, he says, come in after lunch and I'll show you what you need to do. And I met up with this guy and he basically helped me make a few samples. And when the samples came back, the woman who had kind of put me off, she was there when I was picking them up because I had to pay for them. And he was there and the two of them were looking at it and they were like, oh my God, this looks terrible or whatever. And I thought it was the best looking thing ever. They were giving me this weird look and I was so excited. And that I made three pairs of jeans. Another three more samples. This wasn't my original stuff, but this is like actual samples. So it became from like what was like a hip hugger, which was just kind of very, you know, just kind of something that you wrap around you type of thing, to a real five pocket jean.
Yes.
And I was blown away. I was like, this is the future. But, you know.
Okay, but the bit you're missing out is how do you design a pair of jeans? So you talk about the pattern, but so I dabbled in clothing, and there's just, you know, with funnily enough, a few years ago with Virgin Clothing. And this brings back so many memories because the idea was, okay, we'll make some jeans. But you go and you start looking at jeans, they're all different. You know, you've got all these different designs. You've got high-rise, low-rise, hip huggers. And, you know, suddenly you realize there's 50 different types of jeans. So what pattern do you make?
So what we did was basically it started off literally my wife and I in our living room, on the floor till 3 o'clock in the morning, putting. So I buy leftover denim in denim factories, in a denim factory in San Francisco, and then stuff from a fabric store, more bits and pieces of denim. And I literally, the two of us literally sat on the living room floor and we made it into blankets. We pieced it all together.
Yeah.
And then I had someone who sewed it together, and that was the original pattern. It was so.
Have you still got those jeans?
I actually have the very original, the first pair, yeah.
I have this vision that they're encased in Perspex somewhere.
Yeah, and it's so funny that you say that because I'm actually putting them into a frame. I actually had them in a frame because I used to have a small store in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing something with a group over in Santa Monica, and it's an entrepreneurial center, and they're going to be putting them on the wall in a frame. Now that you say that.
This whole idea, this sort of burning, you know, desire to make it work, it doesn't matter what obstacles you come across.
So then from there, yeah, I made 100 pairs of jeans. Once I got them back, I liked them, whatever. I thought, okay, we'll make 100 pairs of jeans. It took the woman about 4.5 months to make them. And I'd signed up for an event in San Francisco in the Yerba Buena Center upstairs. It was this kind of fashion and arts craft there. And she assured me they'd be well, you know, they'd be made well before that. And it was a joke. We ended up getting it the day before. We got 100 pairs of jeans, and I was sure they were going to probably sell out, you know.
Yeah.
We got there. I ended up, you know, nobody was interested, you know.
Oh,
it was
no.
Crazy. It was brutal. But I ended up getting 2 sales that day, and I sold them for 160 bucks each, and that was it.
But
I was hooked.
Which is fantastic.
I was like, this is amazing. You know, we've sold something.
But you didn't give them away. You sold them for, you know, full price.
No, I sold them. People actually bought them. And it paid for our event. It paid for all our lunches. There was 3 of us there.
Fantastic.
And that was it. It paid for everything. So
I can just imagine that moment, you know, the joy, the, you know, the fact that everything was coming together at that point. And when the moment the guy handed over his credit card, the world became your oyster at that point.
Oh, my God, I was shaking.
Yes.
You know, I was so excited, you know. It's so funny. I'm still in contact with the guy to this day. He's great. And he's bought lots, you know, he's got other jeans off me, and he's just a good guy, you know.
But I think this is one of those products, because, you know, I've seen them, and it's one of those products that once you're in, you become addicted to them, because there is nothing else like it. And you do, I can imagine that sense of freedom, because, you know, you're wearing something that is handmade, is unique, you know the designer, you know, so that's something that you just don't get anymore.
It's, you know, they honestly, they're so unique. I've had guys and girls email me and tell me that they've met people through them.
Wow.
Which have ended up going on dates with. No messing, I'm not joking. They have, like, you know, girls who've gone, oh yeah, someone commented on my jeans in a club I was in, you know, we got into conversation, yada yada. Some of the guys I know, I'm not joking, it's like, yeah, they're different, they're unique, and, you know, they're sexy.
But then, so that leads on to the vision. So we can now talk about this whole idea of a lifestyle fashion brand, you know. So, and how does, you know, all these things that, that, you know, that we were talking about earlier about festivals and fashion and animal welfare, it's almost like they're encapsulated in the design of the jeans. So what's the vision now?
My wife and I are combining our passions. So my wife has devoted the last 17 years of her life to saving animals. She's been an animal rights attorney.
Oh, wow.
And she mainly saves dogs on death row, you know, and, you know, a lot of pro bono work. She worked 7 years in San Quentin prison, getting felons out to fund her animal law. You know, she's dedicated to the cause.
Sure.
And it's, you know, she's never going to stop saving animals. And the legal business is killing her. I thought, you know, why don't we combine our passions? Hers is animal welfare and mine is fashion of festivals, and build a compassionate, free-spirited lifestyle brand. So our mission is to help animals by making people look sexy and unique. So she's now working on opening her own sanctuary where she can continue saving animals.
Fantastic.
And we can fund it through our business.
Which is, I mean, this is the dream. But how
this
are you,
is the dream, yeah.
How are you going to do this? So you came up with the concept for the jeans, but so how do you grow your business? Is it all
so now? So now the vision for this business is to actually own the patchwork space. So now we're doing, you know, we're doing jeans, we're doing leggings, we're doing. So we have three different categories kind of in business, which is our good, better, best. And our good is more accessories. It's T-shirts and patchwork. It's leggings and patchwork, say from $25 to $75, $80. And then we'll have our better, which is jeans, which is from $100 to $180, where we'll have more higher-end T-shirts and jackets and hoodie tops, all with a unique patchwork twist.
Yeah.
And I'm not always going to have so many patches, but that's our signature, is the patchwork. And then our best will be more art pieces, which is more of the multicolor patchwork, more jeans in patchwork that we'll do painting on. We'll collaborate. We're collaborating with artists. We've already been collaborating with an artist where it's the whole lifestyle brand based around the patchwork.
But that's, I mean, to be able to come up with something innovative in what is probably the most overpopulated business spaces is astonishing, really. And I can, you know, I can feel the excitement. I can feel the hairs standing up on the back of my neck with the, you know, the all the possibilities. And but, you know, how are you doing this on your own? Are you getting?
So the next exciting part is, so I've collaborated with a company in Los Angeles for some of our products. They're taking over the production of our T-shirts, of our leggings, and a certain few of our good products. And now we're collaborating with a manufacturer to take, who's actually a manufacturer in downtown LA, who's actually taking care of our jeans.
Yep.
And it's our goal is to stay here. I'm actually doing some work with some guys in Canada for some of our products.
Yeah.
So they're like a kind of like a dropship company where I submit the orders.
Yeah.
I submit the actual designs, and they're working with the designs.
Fabulous.
Which right now it's perfect, because the biggest headache for any up-and-coming designer is production.
Yep.
And manufacturing. It's a real pain.
And how did you, but you've got to learn all of this. So as you say, you came from real estate to fashion. You know, there's not necessarily a clear connection between those two businesses.
No, there's nothing, right? there's none.
So let's talk about, you know, collaboration. Mentors, you know, the world of an entrepreneur has two parts. First, there is this drive, this determination, this sort of, you know, you get up in the morning, there's the fire in the belly. And the smart entrepreneurs are the guys that say, actually, I want to do this, but I can't do it all on my own. And I'm such a believer in mentoring and collaboration and leverage. You know, so how did you realize, or was there a point where you realized that I can't do this on my own? It's exciting. How do I get other people involved?
Oh, sure. Well, that's where I am, you know, right now, trying to find the right people, because I've had people come on board, but they haven't been the right people. And, you know, it's all part of the trial and error moving forward. I worked with some people, and, you know, I never checked their references. And
yes,
I never, you know, I guess, you know, the old saying, you know, judge your fruit judge your tree by the fruit that it bears, not the fruit that it talks about. And some people, you know, I brought on board and I paid them and so on, and it didn't work out, you know. And
yeah,
it's just been a learning curve where now I'm doing a lot more due diligence.
Can be crushing though, because, you know.
Oh yeah, well, it nearly was, you know. So it's like, I've definitely gone through the whole, you know, I've gone totally broke financially a few times, yeah. You know, I went into depression, you know, all that comes along with it. But I have been very fortunate that I have an amazing partner, wife, who is like just so positive and just so supportive, because anybody else would have been out the door, Machu. There would have been good luck, because I put my life into this and, you know, and more, you know.
Listen, I'm there. I mean, I know what it's like, and I'm sure that there are, you know, lots of other people that know. I have this great the sort of the expression that keeps me from, you know, banging my head against the wall is, you know, the night is often darkest just before dawn. So it's, you know, that feeling that, you know, just when you think is the worst it's ever going to be, then you get those sort of, you know, chinks of light coming through. But references, that one thing I just wanted to mention was, it's so easy as an entrepreneur to believe that other people have the same commitment and the same loyalty as you do to your own brand. You know, and it is, I think, very important to check out people that you partner with, because, you know, they can do untold harm to your business.
Oh, for sure. And I've had it, but that's, I guess, you know, it's all part of it, right? It's all part of the growing experience, right?
And how important do you think mentors are? Just the concept.
Huge. You know, that's why I moved to LA, is to find the right mentor. You know, I've been selling jeans, but to really take this to the next level and get the right people involved, LA is where it's at. LA is the denim capital of the world. And I've been coming back and forth from San Francisco for a few years doing production here, but really to take this to the next level and build a global lifestyle fashion brand based around our signature look, and get me out to do what I do best, which is really promoting the business and designing.
Yeah.
You know, I need a team of amazing people who see the vision and who, you know, resonate with our values.
And do you think that you've changed in the way that you operate within your business? So you start off as the designer, the production, the sales, manufacturing, distribution, all of that is Jerry Kelly to start with. And do you find, as the business progresses, do you see your role changing, or, you know, how is that, how have you,
you know, changed over the years? To get me out of the operation side and really work on the creative side is, you know, we're slowly getting to that.
Do you find that that's a problem though, that you end up, you know, it's a bit like they say that a lot of people who own businesses, actually it's the business that owns them, because they don't actually have any control.
Oh, totally. Because especially, you know, you're getting into a business like fashion, a lot of people looked at me strange. You know, I come from a real estate background, construction, borrow work. You know, people thought I was crazy.
They're not looking that way now.
No, because, you know, things are slowly happening. But, you know, I'm a firm believer in, you heard the story of the Chinese bamboo tree.
Tell me.
So, you know, you plant the seed for the Chinese bamboo tree, and you have to water it and tend to it and fertilize it every day. And any time within 5 years, it takes 5 years to surface. Any time within that 5 years, if you stop tending it and looking at it, working on it, it'll die in the ground and it'll never be realized.
Yeah.
But once it does break ground in that fifth year, it takes 6 weeks to grow 90 feet tall. And the question is, did it take 5 years or take 6 weeks? And it's obvious, you know, people don't see what you're doing behind the scenes, and, you know, people are laughing at you and so on or whatever. And you got to build a reputation. You got to meet the right manufacturers, meet the right mentors, meet the right people.
And so what would you say would be the best piece of advice that you ever received whilst you were building this business?
Well, I think you know, the old saying is you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. And, you know, if you really believe in something, just never, ever, 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 ever stop. Never quit.
Yes.
You know, because like I don't have talent. I can tell you that. You know, I was terrible in school or whatever. And it's just what I do have is I have, I guess, grit. And, you know, I work and I won't stop. And, you know, I'll just keep on pushing it and pushing it until it's where I want it to be, you know.
You know, that's absolutely the life of a successful entrepreneur is pure dogged determination. There might be, you know, 5% inspiration or luck or, you know, but it is that 95% perspiration, that, you know, pure dogged determination, that persistence. I mean, that's the thing that really separates the men from the boys, I think, in business.
That's what I see, you know, because like a lot of people who I started working with a few years ago, they're kind of coming back into the picture now. Yeah.
And what business book has had the most impact on you?
You know, it's not actually a business book, but it's more of a self-development, you know, self-help. I think, you know, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. I really love that. And that has definitely helped me along the way.
And how important to you is this mental attitude, you know, this idea that...
Machu, it's huge. It's everything. It's really everything, you know.
I know it is that vital component. You know, if you think you can't do it, or you're going to fail, or you know, you end up listening to the people, as you say, that are laughing at you, or, you know, saying, "Come on, Jerry, you, what are you doing this week?" You know.
I mean, oh yeah, I've had it all, man. But, you can imagine that my buddies who work in construction call me Calvin Kelly instead of Calvin Klein. What's he up to now? But that's it. You just got to keep on persisting, right?
Yes.
And it's been an amazing journey so far, and I've learned so much. And I've, like, you know, moving to Los Angeles, I was fortunate enough to meet up with the Metal Group, with an amazing group of other entrepreneurs and change makers, which is, you know, it's really helped me growing as a person.
That's critical. I mean, being surrounded by like-minded people, I mean, that's another, you know, really important thing, because it is a lonely journey.
Oh, it can be very lonely.
And if you had your time again, so here's the 2020 hindsight question. So, what would you have done differently?
I would have spoke to a lot more people who've actually been there and done it and got advice. I wouldn't have gone out. You know, I went out and I bought literally thousands of yards of denim from denim factories, leftover denim. And then I didn't know. I thought I was just going to sell it all, and I didn't. I would have paid an expert to really help me.
Yes.
To guide me.
I think would have been done. Yeah, but a lot of the time, though, you just got to go and do it. If you don't get started and trip up and make mistakes along the way, you never get going. That's the thing. So it's 2020 hindsight is fantastic. I think the expert thing is the critical thing. You know, I know the number of times how many times have you sort of leapt into something and then afterwards you've gone, yeah, I should have probably have thought about that a bit more.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And what are you excited about most right now?
So I'm excited about most. I have a mentor here now, and she's been in the business for a long time, and we're working on sealing a deal where she comes on as a partner, which will be huge for us. So that's, I'm really excited about that.
And what can we expect? What's on the horizon? Give us a sneak peek of Sonus Denim in the future.
So Sonus Denim in the future, what you see, well, you're going to see a lot more unique products, and you're going to see, you know, we're going to be, you know, working on the dream of saving animals and making people look sexy and unique. You'll see some interesting characters coming on board who will be promoting our brand.
That's fantastic.
That's really it. You know, it's really building this, it's the process, right? It's taken a lot longer than, of course, I ever expected, but it's getting there.
But it's been fun every minute, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, of course, I've had the ups and downs, but you know what? They've definitely made me stronger, and I wouldn't have changed it at all, you know?
Yeah,
I wouldn't change it at all.
Well, listen, Jerry, how do people find out more about Sonus Denim? How do they get hold of you?
Sure. Sonus Denim, Sonas Denim, Denim.com. Visit our website, or it's Jerry, if you'd like to reach out to me personally. It's Jerry with a G. G-E-R-R-Y at Sonas, S-O-N-A-S, denim.com. And again, Sonus means happiness and good times in Gaelic.
Oh, fantastic.
In Ireland, where I'm originally from.
I've seen them. They're fabulous. And I hope you know, everyone goes and at least has a look at what you're doing, because it is unique in the true sense of the word. And that's pretty rare these days. But, you know, Jerry, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Excellent. Well, listen, Matthew, you're a gentleman. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it and look forward to catching up again.
Fabulous. And if you want to find out more about Jerry and how to get your hands on some truly unique clothing, go to sonusdenim.com. You've been listening to Hooked on Startups. I'm Matthew Sullivan. See you next week.